Dun 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 dun! Awesome cast! Dun 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 dun! It's the awesome cast! Dun 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 dun! Awesome cast! Words go here, words go here, words go here! Dun 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 dun!
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Awesome Cast. I'm Basil.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Nobody.
And that's us. So, Nobody has a special treat for us before we get started on our main topic. Sort of a little case of the anti-awesome, if you will.
I have found something that is terrible. That is absolutely 100% terrible. Basil, you are actually the one who found it. I'm just bringing it to you as a public service announcement about how terrible this is.
The story goes like this. I plan on running a tabletop game based off Shin Megami Tensei Persona. And a lot of Persona games deal with the tarot. And one of the deals was for me to run this game, I had to have a deck of tarot cards. So I went to my local bookstore and we were looking around and we were checking Amazon, and we were looking for something neat, something interesting, something different. And just based off, you know, the screenshots given to us by Amazon, I found this one called the Cosmic Tribe Tarot. It looked kind of neat and interesting, and I ordered it, and I got it, and we got something.
The deck, while on the cover it does not depict this at all, the deck is full of naked hippies flailing their dicks around. Now, it's not actually sexual cards. Like, they're not even, like, attractive people to look at. They're just naked, dirty hippies.
Also, tatas are hanging out, too.
Naked, dirty hippies.
Let's see. Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Like, card after card is just like, you know, look, I'm a fat, naked woman with mud smeared all over my boobs.
With,
you know.
Random Photoshop filters behind me.
Yes, in fact, earlier today, I was going through the tarot, and I was making, like, there are a couple of cards that are good, interesting, pretty pictures. There are some cards that had a lot of artistic things going for them, but then they mucked it up because they whoever made this obviously didn't know how to use Photoshop, and they just went butt crazy.
And, yeah, butt crazy, that's right.
And, you know, they just Photoshopped things where they shouldn't have Photoshopped things, did a filter here. It's pretty terrible.
They put faces and moons that didn't need faces in them.
Yeah. Let's see. And so, I need to say to Destiny Books of Rochester, Vermont, you're apparently the publisher that made this crap. You should stop and be ashamed.
Yeah, really, guys. Fuck a bunch of dirty hippies. Come on.
So, and who made it?
Let's see, the big name is Stevie Postman. I'm assuming that he's the artist.
Yeah, the cord-winner bird. That's gotta be some kind of.
And, the text was done by Eric Ganther, but I don't really think that that's his fault.
Yeah, there's also, it's a complete set where you get a bunch of tarot cards and a book that's supposed to explain the tarot cards. I'm sure the writer who wrote the book is probably
Eric, and this is probably not his fault, but Stevie, you should put Photoshop down.
This is
put the pens down, the tablet down. And,
but as I was saying, slowly. I made a pile. One pile was of good cards. If the rest of the deck had looked like those 8 to 10 cards that I selected, it would have been a good deck. There was another stack of about 20 cards that, you know, had the artistic thing going. He just mucked it up with Photoshop. The last pile was of just fucking awful cards that had no artistic merit to them whatsoever, on top of having terrible, terrible, terrible Photoshop filters littering and adorning them. Now, on the Emperor card, which is one of the worst cards, they did actually have really nice framing of the cock, if that's really what you wanted to look at with the Emperor. Let's see,
The Cosmic Tribe is a deck for the 21st century. full of imagery that is beautiful, provocative, and stimulating.
Now, you know that this deck is for the 21st century because there are three versions of the Lover's card, which shows that he didn't know anything about the tarot when he made this. But there was a Het version of the tarot, a Yuri version of the Lover's card, and a Yaoi version of the Lover's card. It was awful and needs to stop.
This deck will make you reconceive everything you thought about tarot. This was a review on the back of the box by Starhawk, author of Spiral Dance and Dreaming the Dark.
Now, I have owned several tarot decks in my time. They're generally pretty cards to look at, but...
Did you not read the back of the box before you bought it?
No, because it was on Amazon.com.
Oh, okay. I thought you were at the bookstore.
This one is pretty terrible, and everyone purchasing a tarot deck probably would have better luck of it. Like, if you're wanting a New Age tarot deck, there are better tarot decks. If you're wanting something kind of with a cosmic theme to it, again, there are better. This is just, like, crap.
But if you want naked, dirty hippies...
This is the way to go.
Yeah, this is a deck for you.
We're looking for naked, dirty hippies.
This is the deck for you. Now, speaking of things that we didn't realize quite what we were getting into until we actually got to it, our feature presentation, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
As always, the first few minutes, no spoilers, and then we're going to let it all hang out, much like the Emperor.
Oh, we're going to whip it out.
Fucking Emperor. Okay, much like the
Knight of Swords.
Fucking knight. Fucking fool. Oh my god, what were they thinking with the magician?
Nobody. Indiana Jones.
So, back, way back in the 80s.
Yep, the long forgotten time.
There was, right after the heels of Star Wars, George Lucas got in contact with this guy named Steven Spielberg. And together they hatched a glorious and cunning plan to bring the style of classic pulp stuff to screens.
Yeah, spit in your face, Nazi fighting, rough and tumble, you know, didn't take no guff from anybody, heroes, you know, the old kind of stuff you saw in pulps and serials back in the day. They kind of want to bring their childhood stuff back. And they did in creating
Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I really hate that they went back and added the Indiana Jones on the front of that, actually. I always thought it was fine. It's just Raiders of the Lost Ark. So if you didn't know what you were fucking watching with Raiders of the Lost Ark, you didn't need to, you know, have the name added on. But after they made the other couple of movies, they decided to go slap the name onto the front of the title. Anyway, and it's great stuff.
And then they went ahead and made one called Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom. Not quite so good, kind of
a little campier, cheesier, you know. They had to keep making sure they referenced several things, that he was afraid of snakes, that you have him crack his whip at some point, you know, all the... They became a franchise with Temple of Doom.
And then, but that's okay, because after that they gave us The Last Crusade.
The Last Crusade, which I'm going to be, I'm sure, like, stuck on a pike for this. But I'm going to say right now that I actually like The Last Crusade better than I like Raiders of the Lost Ark. And there aren't very many people out there, I think, that agree with that, but fuck y'all, it's fine.
But, well, there was a lot of really good moments. I mean, Sean Connery as the dad.
I loved the fact that there was no real love story in... I mean, there was a little bit of tension with the hot Nazi lady, but the main story was the relationship between the father and son, between, you know, Henry Jones and Henry Jones Jr.
And that was actually really important, especially with... Because after that, they did Young Adventure of Indiana Jones.
Young Adventure of Indiana Jones, a little TV show, which is all right. Wasn't bad.
You know, it was mostly him running around seeing historical figures at the time.
Yeah.
And wild and crazy zany adventures. I think they occasionally punch Nazis.
Yeah, every once in a while. Well, pre-Nazis. Proto-Nazis, if you will.
And, of course, there have been video games and LucasArts games.
Comic books.
Books and all sorts of stuff. But we never thought we would ever get another movie. And then a few years ago, they started making rumblings where we're going to make a new Indiana Jones movie. And everyone's like, yeah, right. We're not going to make that.
Yeah, they started. Oh, those were years ago. And there's been all sorts of rumors. Sean Connery was attached at one point, and then he wasn't, and then he was, and off and on and off and on.
You know, I think they've gotten through, like, and this, eventually it now exists. It's in theaters. You know, many script revisions, rewrites, and everything. But now it's here, and it has a crystal skull.
What do we think about it, guys?
Well, I think that when I was watching the movie, I could definitely tell where George Lucas reached out and got his dirty, smudged fingers all over the film. It was just blatant on the screen and painful. And then I could see where Spielberg came with a rolled-up newspaper and smacked his hand and said, "No, down, Lucas, down!" and shooed him away and then tried to fix it.
There was a lot of definite scenes that had George Lucas's marks on them, and there was a lot of definite scenes that had the mark of Spielberg on them, and I think by and large the Spielberg stuff was better than the Lucas stuff.
Oh yeah, that's like definitely
the,
so.
The CG gophers at the beginning that just made a bunch of funny looks.
The very first thing you see in the movie.
Yeah, the very first thing you see when you walk into this movie is CGI, and that's just awful.
Especially after Spielberg saying, no, we're going to take this back to its roots. We indie film, we're going to keep a bare minimum CG.
Yeah. There's a lot of CG in this movie, guys, and that's really impressive to me considering it's a movie about the 1950s. Because they had to fight to get that CG in.
Like the CG monkeys.
We might be giving away too much there.
The CG ants. Let's
the
see.
CG warehouse.
You name an animal in this movie, and it was probably CG.
You do not need to CG a warehouse for people to walk into a warehouse.
It was okay.
That's stupid.
Anyway, had a lot of CGI. Which was not good.
You know, Lucas just needs to realize that CG just doesn't look like real flesh and blood stuff. Not even flesh and blood stuff. Like, puppets would be more realistic than half the CG that Lucas pumps out.
It's true. Now, there was some nice stuff. It was nice to see Harrison Ford give a damn about a movie again. It's been a long time.
But for me, it felt like he had sort of had to ramp up to giving a damn. Like, the first few scenes of him just talking, I really felt kind of dead and lifeless. I know you disagree with me, Eric.
I completely just. I felt that the whole. He wasn't supposed to be dead and lifeless. He was supposed to be acting tough in front of the commie guards. But
I felt it was portrayed to me as deaf and lifeless. But as soon as the initial few 20 minutes are over and he gets back to dealing with, you know, people and going back to school and stuff, that's what I felt like I was seeing Indiana Jones again.
The first, I'd probably, what would you say, a third of the movie?
Yeah, first third of the movie.
Was a real great
movie.
Great setting. What was really good about it was it put you back in the time frame really, really well. Like, you could definitely feel the Red Scare that was going on during the 1950s.
Just as The Last Crusade was really good about going through Nazi Germany, looking at the book burnings, looking at all the rallies and the stuff that went on, and bringing you know, having Zeppelin travel, and just all these kind of hallmarks that you'd have of the 1940s and 30s, late 30s. This movie did a really great job about being the 1950s. You know, you had the kind of diners, you had the letters versus greasers, you had all sorts of stuff in it that just sort of like...
I was half expecting the Fonz to walk out at that one scene in the bar and be like, "Hey, fixed your jukebox."
That's the 70s.
Okay. Just so you know, spoilers when active. So if you don't want spoilers, stop the podcast.
Yeah, right now.
Wait, are spoilers active? Is me saying the Fonz is in the movie?
Oh,
no,
no, we're now activating spoilers.
Okay.
Spoilers are now active. See, I felt this movie sort of could be broken into four parts. You have the warehouse scene, that whole bit, ending with the stupid nuclear explosion.
Yeah,
and
the nuclear explosion.
This is where me and Basil have a serious disagreement, but go on.
And then you break off to him coming out to school, and that's when you really get the 50s stuff into it. And then him dealing with the school, meeting Mutt, at the end it breaks into another bit where they're now off on, now they're searching for stuff.
You know, I actually thought Mutt was a great character. I thought he was a great addition into Indiana Jones. He was a great character
with an awful, awful name. Couldn't they do better than Mutt, guys? I don't care that it's a reference to the old movie you named him after the dog. Like, I don't care that it's an old reference to that. I don't, you know, Mutt was stupid. Couldn't they have named him something like, you know, hell, call him Mr. fucking Bigglesworth for all I care, you know? Like, and have his mom come in later and be like, we named the cat Mr. Bigglesworth. Like, that would have been way better than, you know, Mutt.
It's better than what I thought. I thought when I was in the movie, I thought I heard the word Mud. Not Mutt.
Well, yes, it is and better so than Mutt. And so I was Mutt.
Really confused at the whole movie. Like, why in the world they name him Mud? Is that because Indy's, as far as she was concerned, he was Mud? Was Basil, that it?
Basil, he had the word Mutt, M-U-T-T, written on his jacket, and the cat is playing with dice. I need to pick that up.
Roll a 20, cat.
This is a podcast, so I can listen to it. I don't read.
Look.
Says the English major.
The point is, it's a stupid nickname. You could have done better. And I'm talking to both George and Spielberg on this one. But the
character was good.
Yes, the character was good. And I was so scared of that character.
Yeah, so many people were scared when they're like, oh god, the kid of Indiana Jones. That's going to be terrible. No, it was actually really great.
Really well done.
Particularly the moment when Indiana Jones realized that Mutt was his son.
And he's, now too, the, you know, the early, like, well, I guess in Basil's breakdown, the second phase of the movie, you've got Indiana Jones kind of offhandedly giving advice to Mutt. And he's giving, you know, kind of, I don't know, cool advice, like, well, don't let people tell you you have to go to school, and don't let people tell you you don't have to follow your own path and everything. And then he finds out he's his son, and he immediately turns around and goes, why the hell didn't you let him finish school?
Yeah, it's just, you definitely feel like this Indiana Jones is very much more the teacher than he used to be. Like, you can definitely tell that he is an older person, and that now, you know, because before he was a professor, but he was, you know, he was much more action hero than he was professor. Now it feels more like he's now much more a professor who's now, you know, now sort of sidelining the action hero. And so for him now, it seems like, I felt a definite much more education being a much more prominent theme in this movie than before.
Well, teaching the younger generation, I could see that. And now, again, I'm going to break this movie down into my breakdown, because I grossly disagree. I think the entire first third of the movie is wonderful. Like, I like the warehouse scene. I love them driving, the kids hot-rodding around the military guys that turned out to be secret communist agents, fighting in the warehouse. I thought the nuclear blast was a little over the top, but I don't think it was so awful.
It was acceptable.
And nuclear testing is a hallmark of the 1950s.
Here. Yes, but they didn't have, I don't know, they didn't have to get them almost, you know, at point ground zero in the place building.
It wasn't at ground zero. They were obviously testing the effects of
if it was strong enough to still destroy the vehicle moving away, that fridge should have been toast.
Yeah, to survive the blast, but Indiana Jones...
on the shockwave.
To survive the blast, Indiana Jones jumped into a lead-lined refrigerator. Now, I don't know if they actually had lead-lined refrigerators in the 1950s.
They did.
That's retarded.
Yes, it is, but they did a lot of retarded things.
That is so freaking retarded.
Oh, come on. You guys will believe a glowy box from God and the Holy Grail, but you know, the cup that heals bullet wounds, but I can't have a refrigerator that magically... Did you guys not read any of this old pulp stuff? No, it's not believable. It's
actually,
the fucking
no,
pulp
because,
stuff.
You know, we're the age of living people.
Well, I have, because my parents own a ton of it, and I'm sorry, that's what they were all about, was unbelievable shit. Like, these people did things that was totally and completely unbelievable, and that's
look,
just
out
another
of
one.
Everything else, you know, crazy minecart chases, running away from boulders, hearts getting ripped out, whatever have you, you know,
Nazis. A lead-lined refrigerator?
The point blank blast of a nuclear...
It wasn't point blank!
Yeah, it was, that vaporized that city. Yeah, nothing was left but that frickin' refrigerator.
It knocked a framework down, and there was plenty of debris flying through the air. I don't know what you're talking about disintegrating everything.
Let's move on to other parts of the movie, as we've pretty much established that Eric and Basil have this huge disagreement about.
Now we get to the middle of the movie.
Now, as soon as I say he talks to the feds, that was good.
Here we go. We had a great plot point that is also emblematic of the 1950s, which was the Red Scare. And a lot of the internal agencies, the CIA, the FBI, all that stuff, not trusting the military. That was actually a real thing. It happened. Not quite as extreme, I guess, as they made it out to be, but it did happen. Mm-hmm. And it's a plot that they use. They don't trust Indy. Well, he was found with communists, you know, da-da-da. And we got our eye on you.
Right.
And then they never deal with it again.
The FBI guy that came and talked to Indy, incidentally, just for those of you who watch Scrubs, the TV show, was the janitor. And in my opinion, he was still playing the janitor messing with J.D. It's just instead of J.D., it was Indiana Jones he was fucking with.
I looked at him and he looked nothing like the janitor to me.
I thought he looked exactly like the janitor. I was just like, oh my god, it's the janitor!
You also thought that Mary Jane and the girl from Iron Man looked like Gwyneth Paltrow. You also thought that Gwyneth Paltrow and, who's fucking Mary Jane in Spider-Man?
Spider-Man, that's who he's...
No, what's her real... It's Gwyneth Paltrow is the actress in Iron Man. Who is the actress in that plays Mary Jane? I don't remember names.
Is it Gwyneth Paltrow?
No, it's not Gwyneth Paltrow.
They do. They look the same. They have they don't thin look lips. The same. They have thin lips, big doe eyes. They look the same.
They do not look the same.
Yeah, no, she had a lot more freckles.
Okay.
Penny Potts had a lot more freckles, and Mary Jane Watson's lips were bigger.
My hat is off to you, Basil. My hat is off to you.
I think we're overlooking the fact that Mary Jane had huge tits and Gwyneth Paltrow doesn't. But anyway, the point. Moving along. About the janitor. Okay. I don't know. I could see the character being... acting similarly. But the point is, this is a great plot there. Indy has done all this great stuff, and his own government doesn't trust him anymore. They kick him out, they make it so that the university he works for has to fire him. They do all this stuff, and they never bring this plot point back ever. This is all you will ever hear of it.
Yeah, it's true.
He loses his job, the government doesn't trust him, and at the end of the movie, without any reason or given, he gets his job back, he gets promoted, and everything's fine again.
At no way do they explain how his adventures in South America got him his job back, but they do, apparently.
They even mentioned that the aliens blowing up their temple and getting rid of all their evidence makes it so that, no, they can't prove to anyone anything that would have happened.
Oh, speaking of that, let's actually talk about the point that this movie was named after, which is the Crystal Skull.
I.e. the Crystal Aluminum Foil gift shop toy.
The crystal skull, the big holy item, looked like a piece of plastic that had tinfoil shoved up in it.
Yeah, it looked really, really, really stupid.
Here was something that could have dealt with some CG. You got some CG to use. Like, use it on the goddamn alien skull. Oh my god,
they made chipmunks, monkeys, army ants, all with CG, and they couldn't make the glowy crystal skull with CG. Like, what the hell, guys? What the hell?
Or could you at least make the crystal skull look like it was made out of crystal?
Yeah, maybe.
Could you actually make it like a crystal skull?
Not
like,
a plastic skull.
Like, you know, I mean, there are too much to ask. And why was it like this? And, I don't know, maybe it was me, but I felt like there was less problem solving in this movie as the previous one. There were a few, like...
Was a ride tie-in.
Oh, yeah, the falls. We'll get to the rapids in a second.
Well, the first thing what happens is like, after all that stuff happens, like, Indiana Jones has been kicked out of the school... And he's sort of chilling, and then Mutt tracks him down. He's a greaser, and they're chilling, they're talking, and he's like, my mom's been captured, a friend of ours has gone missing, and it's all about this stupid crystal skull thing. And so Indiana Jones decides to go run around and help him find this crystal skull. And they do some puzzle solving, like they have a page written out that looks a lot like the book in, you know, Last Crusade. Except a page.
It's got Mayan stuff for it. It's got a dead language that he can translate through Mayan, and they figure out which country to go to, and then there's all these clues written on his Mutt's friend, who turned out to be an old colleague of Indiana Jones,
yeah,
who's gone crazy, apparently, was in a sanitarium in South America somewhere, and his, you know, the walls and everything are scrawled on in his cell, and they decipher a puzzle from that.
By the way, if you can't figure out that it's aliens when you see the cell, and he has all the pictures of aliens everywhere, you're retarded.
Well, if you can't figure out it's aliens for the first time, they're in Area 51, and open up a body.
No, I'm willing to say that you're not stupid if you haven't figured it out by then. But if you haven't figured it out by that point, that it's aliens.
But at this point, it's still cool. He finds, you know, ancient conquistadors, their tomb, and there he finds Crystal Skull.
Which looks like an alien head.
Which he finds because, randomly, when the plot determines it, the crystal skull is magnetic.
But the crystal skull was magnetic in the warehouse.
Well, the body was sort of, but it depended. Like, it could pick up fine things, but the big things wasn't magnetic until later.
And well, other things got closer to it.
Well, I mean, things like, you know, I mean, we should have saw buttons pop off and then having problems with guns and stuff, but none of that happened. Only just certain things were magnetic and certain things weren't.
They were having problems with their guns. Their stuff was, they were having problems with their crowbars were sticking to it, their guns were sticking to it. What if the buttons were made out of plastic?
They actually weren't having any problems, in my opinion, with magneticism in the warehouse.
It was when it was in the tomb.
It was in the tomb specifically that I did think that there was a lack in the consistency of how magnetic this is. And in the camp, where there's all that metal stuff around, none of it was magnetic.
Well, that's true. You're right. I will give you that in the camp. That is,
as the movie went on, it got progressively less magnetic.
Mind you, I'm sure that it would have been problematic to actually do in the movie, because if it was that magnetic, it would just cause clusters wherever it was around. So I see why they didn't do it. It just was really inconsistent.
And that pretty much sums up this movie. Really inconsistent. It has some moments that, God, just make you sit back and go, wow, this is awesome. This is Indiana Jones again. And it's got others that will make you just want to scream at the screen, like, what the fuck, guys?
Seriously, it's like I said earlier. It's like you can see where Lucas put his grubby fingers on it.
I really liked a lot of the big chase scene.
Yeah, the big action sequence.
Where they had Mutt versus Awesome Russian Chick.
Yeah, that was
swashbuckling in two moving Jeeps as they were crisscrossing through the jungle. And that was really cool. Of course, when they threw him off and he suddenly was Tarzan with a bunch of CG monkeys, now, that was less cool.
I do think that it was cool, Mutt figuring out to swing from the vines. I don't think it was really cool, the herd of monkeys
that followed him.
And then, like, he commanded to attack. Like, I don't know how he became Dr. Doolittle suddenly, but he did for, like, 5 minutes.
And then, you know, the waterfalls, which no human being could survive ever. But,
oh, man, the way the car fell off the waterfall, I'm expecting when I go to Disney World next year to see that ride built. Like, it's so obvious, like, on rails.
Well, it's just like in the second Temple of Doom when they had the sliding down the mountain on the mattress.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing. It's like, hey, let's Or the minecart ride.
Which, yeah, you inspired horrible video game levels for years to come.
Or good ones like in Donkey Kong Country.
No, horrible levels for years to come. It did yield one great line, which is when there's this puzzle that they've got to figure out, that they're trying to figure out the directions to where to put the crystal skull, and one of the directions is it drops 3 times, and as they're sitting there on the waterfall, Indiana's like, oh, I think I figured that part out. You see, 1, 2, they go down a waterfall, and then he points to a third waterfall and goes, 3, and then they fall. And it's pretty awesome.
Although, honestly, I don't know. I could also see sort of cutting that. This film was kind of long.
Yeah, it's too long.
Like, I think they could have cut out the nuclear scene.
Could have cut out several scenes.
Because, like, the nuclear scene, while you're right, very indicative of times, it could
have
been cut out.
We have been dealing. Look, we're done with the nuke scene. I know you're not. This is Basil trying to sneak his dislike of the nuclear scene back into the conversation. We're not going to do it. We're done with that.
I do have to say, once they finally got into the ancient Mayan city of gold that was actually, it turned out their treasure was knowledge.
Quote Buster Bunny, man, next time I'm going after some gold.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, that was definitely the weakest part of the movie. When the big, like, I didn't like how they got into the place where they had actually you had to think through it and actually
something. That was good.
Because before, normally, to solve the riddle, they just waved the crystal skull in front of it and the problem went away.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I kind of liked the idea, they were archaeologists. I mean, if you notice that line from Indiana Jones, like, I did like that.
That, once they actually got to that area was very, it looked very good. It's an example of how the real, actual stuff looked better. It looked less hokey than the hokey crystal skull.
And then we got to the room with the...
Then we got to the
12
room.
12 dead aliens, the one headless dead alien that spun around in a centrifuge and merged into one whole alien who then made the Russian lady's eyes burn out.
Like, for no apparent reason.
And now, and suddenly, how they became interdimensional beings, not just space aliens. And that's when the movie sort of fell apart.
Yeah. We haven't really talked about Marion.
Marion, she's actually one of my favorite parts of the, like, they bring her back.
They bring her back from Raiders of the Lost Ark, and She is a great character. I kind of felt that she just kind of, like, she didn't get any lines. They had a great introduction scene with her, a great, like, 10-15 minutes with her in the introduction. And then she just kind of hangs out with the party. It's literally like, Marion has joined your party, and that she's in the back.
And all she does is smile all the time.
Well, every time she does anything, it was always pretty awesome.
Well, yeah, I mean, when she did get opportunities, but she didn't get to do anything great, after that. But she didn't get to do anything. I mean, you know.
And that's also one of the things, I really never felt...
She did drive the car off the cliff.
Okay, you guys have the nuclear blast. You know what was unbelievable for me, folks? The fact that she thought she knew. You know, I'm going to drive this car off the cliff right under that hanging tree and let it bend gently into the river. I'm sorry. No way, guys. Like, there we go. There's what I couldn't believe.
Like, I think this movie had a definite lack of peril. Like, all these crazy things were happening, but none of the characters ever felt like they were going to die.
Yeah, none of the characters ever felt scared. Or even Mutt, who had obviously been through the least of all this, was totally fine sword fighting on between two cards. His mother even looks over and just starts giving him advice. No, Perry, dear, Perry!
Yeah, like, it was just... It was very much like a ride. They knew they were safe. And even the buddy of his that betrayed him, like, 5 times in the movie, Indiana Jones kept trusting him.
Yeah, that
even
was stupid.
As guy was dying, I was like, it's cool, whatever, I'm good.
Well, that whole point was supposed to be that this character had learned the error of his ways and was sacrificing himself so the rest could escape, and that was totally and completely out of character for this guy.
And he didn't have to sacrifice himself; he could just drop the gold and walk up.
Yeah, like it was so goofy. That was a terrible character. I loved him in the beginning, and I loved him the idea of him turning. You know, becoming a turncoat, but I hated the whole, oh, I was really a double agent. Oh, really, I'm not a double agent.
No, I thought that was fine. I thought that was fine.
I thought the crazy professor was actually going to turn out to be the one dropping the little devices. I thought that would be a great plot twist, of, you know, when he went, I'll get help, and he brought the Russians. If it turned out he was really working with the Russians, I would have thought that would have been awesome, but no.
There's a lot of ways to take this movie and make it a really awesome movie. This every time they had a chance for it, they didn't.
Damn Lucas and his space aliens. E.T. was great, but...
At first, well, I thought E.T. was Spielberg.
E.T. was Spielberg.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, well then, I retract that statement.
See, that was actually my problem with the aliens. Like, at first I was mad because it was aliens, and I didn't like the fact that there was aliens in my Indiana Jones flick.
I was fine with that.
After, you know, I thought about it after a few days later, slept on it a couple of nights, I was like, alright, I can now that I think about it, I can see aliens in Indiana Jones, but I wish they would think interesting with the aliens, and they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't at all.
It looked like your standard, you know, gray-headed, big, bulging, black, featureless eyes.
You know exactly how everybody thinks aliens already look. It wasn't...
Well, my father points out an interesting thing with that, which is that in the original movie, they had an established mythos in the Ark. And for the second movie, they kind of went, well, let's branch out a little bit, and with Temple of Doom, and it burned them. So with the third movie, they went back, okay, we're going to go back to the established mythos with the Holy Grail. But when it came time for the fourth movie, they knew they needed an established mythos, but they wanted one for this generation. And this whole generation has grown up with that as the image of aliens, with, oh, maybe these crop things and these ancient civilizations were really built and helped by aliens, right?
Really? And is that what our generation thinks?
It's not what they think, but there's all these specials that have been in the mid-90s all the time. Alien Autopsy, all that crap.
Oh, yeah.
With the X-Files. I mean, it is a mythos of this generation, and they were trying, I think, to connect that way.
And I don't think it worked, because, I don't know, because it's been beaten into us so much, trying to explain it to us, there's nothing mystical or magical or special about it.
Yeah, that too.
It's just space aliens. When I saw it, it was just space aliens. One of the really neat things I thought about Indiana Jones was just the sense of mystery and wonder.
Yeah.
He was going through these tombs, finding these ancient artifacts. And even in Temple of Doom, even though they had a crazy cult, it was sort of a weird mystic thing with, you know, the ritualism, you know, being able to take in and rip out hearts and stuff. It was something that you couldn't explain, whereas aliens feel like it's been over-explained.
I don't know about Temple of Doom, but for the other two movies... I know it sounds weird to say it about the movies, but there was just a sense of majesty about the Holy Grail, or the Ark of the Covenant. And while I don't mind that they did aliens, there was not that sense of majesty and wonder was not there with the alien artifacts.
What I think should have happened is that, A, the crystal skulls were an actual crystal skull, and not an actual bit of alien being.
They're not an alien head.
It should have been some sort of thing they fixed into some sort of machine. but somehow contacted the aliens. Where that way it was an actual artifact they had and not just a bit of head.
Well, there's a conversation that me and Basil had actually earlier today. And what is it I said? The idea was fine, but the execution was all wrong. And that pretty much summarizes this whole movie. Most of their ideas were great. The execution was just not there.
Well, we've said that, but one passing thought that I keep having, I keep sitting there going, oh man, like, me and Basil were talking again, and Basil kept saying that the longer he has spent away from the movie, the more he's gradually grown to like it, you know, because the initial shock has worn off and now you're thinking about it. I've actually had the opposite reaction. I walked out of the theater saying, oh, that wasn't half a bad movie. And the more time has passed, the more I've just thought about it and gone, oh, this thing and this thing and this thing. But I do think that there's a possibility that that I'm just remembering the old movies through the filter of nostalgia, you know, watching them when I was a kid and I didn't know any better, and maybe they were just as hokey as I am perceiving this one to be. I do think, though, that kids would definitely like this movie, that they would definitely have a blast, and I think that a younger kid would probably watch this movie. Even a kid as old as being in middle school would probably watch this movie and think this was just absolutely awesome.
So I think this is actually one of those films that I think might actually be better on a regular TV than it wasn't on the big screen.
Yeah.
I think maybe the CG effects will be less pronounced.
Oh, yeah.
On a regular TV. Because there's no big enough spectacle in this movie to warrant seeing on the big screen, which I think means it probably looks better on
the small screen.
Yeah. I'm thinking, most times when I watch Indiana Jones when I was a kid, it was like on TBS and, you know, TNT or on via VHS, you know. I think I saw Last Crusade in theater, but the rest I didn't.
I think it's worth buying the DVD, but not really worth seeing it in theater.
I would probably agree. Unless you're an Indian. I mean, if you are a fan of Indiana Jones, if you've, you know, you own the other three and you really like them, go do yourself a favor, go see it. There's moments worth seeing. If you just are looking for a good action flick, wait till it comes out on video.
Go see Iron Man or Speed Racer.
Iron Man or Speed Racer.
Instead. Or maybe Narnia. We haven't seen Narnia yet.
We haven't seen Narnia yet.
Either way.
We're going to do that this weekend.
But, and I think nobody said it best when we were talking earlier about how many awesomes.
I say that Spielberg deserves an awesome. That Harrison Ford deserves an awesome. The Mutt character deserves an awesome. George Lucas deserves an epic failure.
Like, I was thinking maybe this movie is, not so awesome. But there are awesome bits. But I'm sure Eric thinks a little bit.
At the end of the day, I have to say that I just found it awesome to be able to sit there in the theater and watch my hero go at it with the fedora and the whip one more time. So I don't know about how many numbers, but I did think it was awesome.
So in the end, there's awesome at play.
And that's why we're here.
Man, fucking crystal skulls.
Man, this has been the longest, like, awesome cast ever, just naturally. Man.
And fucking we're out.
Crystal skulls.
Fuck a bunch of crystal skulls.
This has been the Awesome Cast. To learn more about us, check us out on the web at osmcast.com.
Awesome Cast. So awesome, only three letters can contain it.
Or send us an email at awesomecast@gmail.com. See you next time.
Bye-bye.